The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord is high, on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Together, that was read to us earlier. As we think about God being a God who is in control, it comes to the end of our series of thinking about what God is like. And as we come to this last description of what God is like, I think we're going to start coming across one that actually many Christians struggle with. It is not a straightforward idea when you start to think about it. What does it mean for God to be in control? Well, as we look at this psalm, let's pray that God would help us understand more about himself and how he works in our world. So let me pray for us. Father, we thank and praise you that you are the God who reigns. You are robed in majesty. Your throne established long ago. Father, thank you that in the midst of different voices crashing around us, we pray that we would hear your word, a word that stands firm, a word that describes you as you are, so that we might respond to you rightly this morning. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, surely one of the big lessons we've learned about the pandemic through the last 18 months or so is that we are not in control of things. I don't know how many plans that you had, how many aspirations and hopes that were, well, put on hold or utterly dashed because of the pandemic. Big plans, little plans, things that we hoped to turn to plan B, C, D, E, and on it went. We're not in control, and we've had a very stark reminder of that in the big things and in the little things, and that has been, let's be honest, a hard lesson for us to learn because, well, we like to know what we're doing, we like to be in control, we like our diaries kind of mapped out, we like to know what's what, and when that's taken from us, well, we struggle, don't we? Well, I guess a big lesson we've learned, we're not in control. I think as well at church here, we've been learning as well another important lesson, maybe not quite so obvious, but I think just as important, we've been learning, haven't we, that actually God is in control, even through difficult, bewildering and uncertain times. We've learned, haven't we, that God is still at work. He's still shaping, he's still changing us, he's opening doors of opportunities, he's moving us to places we never imagined we would be. I wonder, has that been your experience? A God who hasn't been fazed by a pandemic when we were running around like headless chickens. The Lord reigns, Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. And today as we ask ourselves this question of the God who is in control, we need to ask ourselves, what does that look like and what does that mean for us? There are times, aren't there, when we need a statement like the Lord reigns to be reminded to us again. It's one I'm sure many of us here are familiar with, but again, as familiar we might be with it, we need the reassurance and the reminder of that truth again and again. But I also want to just gently keep encouraging us that just to be examining ourselves where we might be pushing back against that idea too. I know many Christians who are confident that God loves them, that God is holy, that God is good, that God is eternal. I could go through the list of all the things we've been thinking about, but when it comes to God being in control, well, there are those days, and sometimes the middle of those nights, when it just doesn't seem like that. And actually, we can feel that God maybe isn't in control of things because things aren't working out as they are, or what we'd hope them to be. And stuff happens, there seems to be no rhyme or reason in it, we're thinking, if God was in control, then this surely would not work out like that. If God loves me, then why is this happening? Never felt like that. And so maybe the step back is to say, well, is God really in control? Are there forces at work in our world that we are subject to that God lets have its way with us, as though God is unable to do anything about it? Of course, most atheists believe that the world is just random. Things just happen, it's chaos, and we just have to put up with it. There certainly isn't any grand plan or rhyme or reason. But that's not the account of the Bible, no. Psalm 93, the Lord reigns. He's the sovereign Lord. Even when things seem chaotic, he's the sovereign Lord. And as we wrestle with this, lots of different areas. So maybe you've read the book Jane Eyre. It's a story, isn't it, that's asking the question, is fate in control or providence, or just things happen by chance? And that question's an important one as we wrestle with it in our experience. Or maybe you've been watching, if you're a Marvel fan, Loki on Disney Plus. And the same question there is when someone else seems to be in control, as Loki cries out, but where is my free will? I wonder if you cry out too in a similar way to God. I won't spoil the series by telling you what it concludes. That's mainly because I haven't seen the last episode yet, but that's by the by. It's one of the hardest parts of God's character to believe in, I think. Now, I'm going to help us navigate through all of that. I want to tell you a story of when I was bodyboarding off the in Cornwall beach there. And if you've been to the beach, you'll know that on the beach there are two flags on a beach with sort of yellow and red flags. You might have seen them. And as long as you stay in between those two flags on the beach, you'll be okay. And the lifeguard will be able to keep an eye on you. But that's the safe part of the beach. And so you'd, as you were in the water, you'd keep an eye on those two flags. I remember one time we were bodyboarding and surfing and trying to catch the waves. And I was busy watching a wave. And as I turned to catch the wave, out of the sea came this enormous boulder. And I remember thinking quite clearly, that shouldn't be there. What's that doing on this part of the beach? Surely, between the flags, you don't have big boulders like that. Now, that all went through my mind really quickly. And then, of course, the realization that a current had dragged me across the beach outside of the flags, and the next wave pushed me against these rocks. And the next one, and the next one. And I'm left with a choice at that point. What do I do? I either let the sea wash me against the rocks, or I swim and paddle like crazy to get back in between the flags. Well, again, we're left with that choice. Those two flags for us today from Psalm 93 are this. The first is that God is in control. The second flag is God is good. And when we keep between those two flags on the beach, we're going to be safe. We might not be able to make sense of everything. The waves will still come at us. The world might be uncertain, but we'll stay safe. But we leave those behind and we'll find ourselves thrown against the rocks, pushed against them again and again and again. So turn with me to Psalm 93. The sovereign Lord reigns. Let me read verse 1. The sovereign Lord, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. You see, here's a picture of the God who is actively ruling the world that he made. He's in control as king. Robed in majesty, his royal character is his royal clothes. This isn't a king with a constitutional monarch that we're kind of familiar with that has no power. But here is the real God who is robed in majesty and armed with strength. He is a ruler over all that he has made. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. So the God who has no beginning or end, the one who made time and matter and space, he rules over all of that. Because his throne was established long ago, the world is established. It finds its security in him. How many of you went to bed last night, let your head hit the pillow thinking, I wonder if the world's going to be here tomorrow? We don't live like that. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but one thing we assume is the world will be here. The throne, the world is established because God is king. He reigns. And of course, the world around us has that sort of security about it. We live day to day, don't we? In the established world, we can predict things because we can conduct experiments with assumptions that things will happen again. Why? Because the world is established by the God who rules over it. Yeah, he is the one who reigns. He's making and creating power that firmly establishes all things according to his will and to his purpose. He is sovereign over it. Everywhere you look, every part, every place, every time, there is no before or no after God's rule. The physical world is established because his throne is established. And as the Lord is king, he exercises dominion over it, and great and small things alike. And again, that we need to keep reminding ourselves that. Listen to the words of Jesus from Matthew 10. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. I see, if the God whose will it is for a sparrow to live or to die, for another hair to fall out of your head or to remain, God who's in control of the little things, not just the big. You see that? Because he is the Lord who reigns over the world. And again, that has to make sense, doesn't it? Because if God is to rule over the little things, just think of the chain of events that mean that those little things are where they are. And God is in control of all those things. He rules over time. He rules over the world. The sovereign Lord reigns. But what sort of world does that then look like? What sort of reign are we to expect from the Lord? We'll look at verses 3 and 4. Because he's powerful, yes, he brings about what he wills. But that doesn't mean that the world is kind of, I guess, like a National Trust garden. I don't know if that's your experience when you go there, where everything is always just in its place. The grass is always, perfectly cut, and you never seem to come across a weed out of place. Everything is just ordered nicely. And in the midst of that sort of place, we kind of feel very at ease, don't we? And we long, don't we, for our experience in life to just be like that, everything in its place, just as we want it, ordered, nice, neat, tidy. You know, you go to a National Trust garden, you go down the vista to the compost heap. No, they're not there, are they? Not in that space. What sort of world does God reign over? Verse 3 is challenging, isn't it? The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. And there in this world where the rule of God reigns, the seas will rage. The crashing waves, though, don't mean the Lord isn't in control. No, he rules over all of creation, every bit of it. The waves, even the storm, are part of the rule of God and what that looks like in this world. Now, look, I'm sure many of us will know the force of the sea. You know, the picture we had in the Trinity Kids talk earlier of the wave crashing against the sea wall, the pounding of it. We know something of its force, its awesome power and strength, but verse 4, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. You see, it's not just that the Lord is stronger than those forces. Yes, he is. But more than that, here is the Lord who reigns over them. Psalm 89, if you turn back a couple of pages, it's at the bottom of page 597, verses 8 and 9. We read these words. O Lord Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You see, there is the picture of the sovereign Lord who is reigning, ruling over the seas and the storms and the waves. And so the crashing waves don't mean that, you know, God is in control of one bit and not another bit, we sometimes think. Here's the sovereign Lord. And of course, remember in Jewish thinking that the sea represented the forces that rage against God and his people. Now, Israel weren't a great sailing nation. They weren't landlocked, but they weren't a trading nation. They didn't venture out onto the sea very much. And therefore, the sea became a place that represented all that was hostile to God and to his people. For example, Isaiah 57. But the wicked are like the tossing sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. And as powerful as those forces are, as they oppose God, they raise their voices, they pound with their waves against God, against God's purposes. But we need not fear that. Why? Because God is the God who rules over it. Hundreds of years later, hardened fishermen were caught in a sudden squall of pounding waves as they lifted up their voices against their boat, a violent storm threatening to swamp them, to sink them, to destroy them. And in the midst of those crashing waves, their teacher, their friend, stands, and with a word he rebukes the wind and stills the waves. Yeah, easier than telling a howling dog to be quiet. So this storm is stilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. At his command, the sea obeyed and was stilled. And the fishermen are in awe. They're afraid. Why? Why? Because the realization, the implication is more terrifying than the storm. Who is this? They say. The Lord Almighty and in our boat. Yes, the one who drove out evil, the one who healed the sick, who could calm the storm, because the sovereign Lord is mighty and he rules over his creation. God reigns with power, his sovereign power to rule over all things, and so is in control of all things. Nothing has got out of his control, nothing will do. He is master of the universe, and at times he is displeased with it, but it never baffles him or frustrates him, threatens him, as we see in this psalm. He reigns. The Lord on high is mighty. And because he reigns and he rules, all that he wills and chooses and carries out according to his good purpose. Therefore, nothing can thwart his plans. He will bring about what he chooses. So, for example, Ephesians 1, verse 11, God works all things according to the counsel of his will. Proverbs 16, he foreordains fortuitous events, the roll of a dice. Ephesians 2, good actions, laudable human actions, especially the good works of believers, are prepared in advance. Even sinful actions. David numbered the people in 1 Chronicles 21, and wicked men crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 2, all within the purpose of God. Now, there are two important caveats to kind of remember at this point. Because as soon as we start to kind of bring these things together, obvious questions come to the surface, don't they? And the first thing we need to say is this, is that God's sovereignty of all things and his control of all things doesn't mean that he is the author of sin or evil and in any way responsible for it. It's what we call double causality. God stands behind both good and evil. He is sovereign over them, but he does so in different and opposite ways. He stands behind them asymmetrically. That is that God will stand behind good in such a way that ultimately all good is credible to him. But he stands behind evil in a way in such that it is always credible to secondary causes in such a way that he is not responsible and it cannot be attributed to him. So evil doesn't fall outside of God's responsibility and his sovereignty, he is sovereign over sin, and yet he's blameless in regards to it. Now we have lots of questions about all that, and we're not always given answers, but we stay between the two flags on the beach. God is in control. God is good. If he was responsible for sin, he would not be good, he'd be immoral. But we stay between those two flags. God's sovereignty does not mean that he overrides or violates moral responsibility of his creatures. We are responsible for our sin. Now look, again, this raises another issue, doesn't it? Oh, there's all sorts of things starting to emerge here, aren't there? Well, look, if God is sovereign over all things, well, what about my free will and my choices? And throughout history, and particularly through the Enlightenment, the value of human free will has been highly prized. But when you think about it, free will's just an illusion, isn't it? It's an illusion because we're not morally free. Why, we're enslaved to our sinful desires. We do what we desire to do, but we aren't free. Rather, God has given his creatures, namely angels and humans, free agency, not free will. That means that we have responsibility for personal decisions in what we do, and we are accountable for them before God. But as this psalm reminds us, the Lord reigns, and he is sovereign over all that all that happens. So nothing has got or ever will get out of his control. And again, we're asking these sort of questions. Well, look, why? Why in this way? Why now? Why doesn't God do this? Surely if God was good, he would work like that. All these sort of questions, and I don't have answers to all those questions. I might have wisdom that might help, but I don't have certainty. But again, we stay between the two flags. And we know that whatever the answer to those questions are, they lie between those two points. God is in control. God is good. Now, however hard that might seem, however uncertain it is, of course, these things are for our good and for our reassurance. You see, when we know that God is in control and God is good, then we can entrust ourselves to him. Whatever we face, whatever we go through. So we think of the Christians who are being oppressed at the moment throughout the world, and we know that God is reigning, God is in control and good, that even when the note comes through their door, as it has done this week for Christians in Afghanistan, saying, "We know where you live." We know that God is in control. We know the Lord reigns. He is mightier than the pounding waves. When we hear from the doctor the news we didn't want to hear, we could cry in despair, or we turn to God, the God who reigns, the God who is in control and God who is good. Verse 5. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. You see, because he's in control, we know that his word is trustworthy. You know, think of all the kind of aspirations or even the promises you made 2 years ago that have been completely dashed by world events. You know, those holidays that you had booked, or the people that you were going to see, those sort of plans that were kind of made, that all got disrupted. You know, I mean, it has been heartbreaking. We had a great preaching plan kind of all stored up. Things had to change. We can make promises, but we do not have the power to fulfill them. But God does. And so because God is control, his word is trustworthy, his statutes stand firm, his decrees, what he declares, are trustworthy. So in a world tossed about by every wind and current of these forces, our fixed point is God's word, because that is unchanging. It declares the trustworthiness of God. And if you've ever been caught in a storm, I was on a ferry in the English Channel. The English Channel isn't famed for its rough seas, but this was quite a bad storm. It was too rough for us to dock in Dover. And so the ferry just sat in the middle of the English Channel, just been rocked all over the place by the storm. We were corkscrewing. We went backwards and forwards, side to side. It was a vomit machine. People were just being sick everywhere. I remember my dad saying to me, go out onto the deck. And as I went out onto the deck, you know, fresh air helped, but you could see the lights of the port. And then you had a fixed point, and that changes everything in the midst of all of that, being tossed around. But that fixed point, you keep your eyes focused on there, and it changes your experience, even in a rough sea. What we need more than anything else in a world where there are forces opposed to God and his people is certainty. And that certainty comes through his word. Your statutes are firm. They're the basis for our confidence. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. His unchanging character of holiness, of goodness, is our certainty. That means we can be confident for all sorts of things. I'm going to just draw out two for us to ponder and rejoice in today. The first is this, is that we can be confident that God is in control for our salvation. Because that's what matters most in this world, isn't it? God is at work to the praise of his glorious grace to bring about a people for himself to display his glory. God is sovereign in electing and redeeming his people, Ephesians 1 verse 11 and John 3 verse 3. He will complete what he has begun, we're told in Colossians 1, to bring about his people to a perfect rest. This matters. I took a funeral on Thursday, and Gwendra, who died, she chose Revelation 21 for a reading. And there that vision declares, doesn't it, the new creation, the glory of God in bringing a people to himself where God will be their God and they will be his people. And the question is that a pipe dream for us as Christians? Is that just kind of best hope? Is that something we kind of long for, to kind of compensate for a world with ups and downs? Or is it a certain and sure hope? Well, God is in control, and it's not best guessing. What God has begun, he'll complete for our eternal security. He is trustworthy and fulfill his promises. But because God is sovereign, that doesn't mean that we don't have to evangelize. The opposite is true, actually, because it motivates us, because we know that God is doing that we couldn't do ourselves. He's turning people from death to life. He's opening hearts and minds as the gospel goes out, as we share with our neighbors and friends the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is doing a great and glorious work. It means that there's no one who's heard the gospel so often to not believe it. It means that there's no one too lost from God to come and find his truth. There's no one too angry with God, no one too apathetic, no one too hurt. God is in control of our salvation from beginning to end. The Lord is in control. Isn't that great? But secondly, it means that God is in control for our reassurance. He is at work in everything for our good, Romans 8. He's at control of everything for our good. We can fear God or doubt God, but remember, holiness adorns your house for endless days. He is the God of holiness and salvation. He is working for our good in everything, for our holiness. So whether we face storms, violent storms in life, God's at work in that. Or maybe we just slowly being worn by the repeated waves, slowly working their way up the beach and back down again. Ongoing temptation, doubt, ongoing sin in our lives. We keep going, but the waves keep coming. Whether we face one or the other, in times of persecution or opposition, in times of failure or doubt, God is at work. He is at work to bring about those things. I've been really struck this week because students have been meeting for their annual kind of training conference and sort of festival in Oswestry Street this week. And even though students haven't been meeting and they've not been at university, the societies, universities, many of them have struggled, many have folded. In the last year during the pandemic, lack of viability, lack of continuity, struggled to recruit leaders and all the rest of it, and yet the Christian Union's still going, and there are hundreds and hundreds of student leaders who have met this week, who are going back to their universities fired up to keep going with the gospel. God is at work even in the pandemic. Isn't that amazing? Should that surprise us? No. Should it cause us joy? Of course. God is at work, not despite the pounding waves, but in the pounding waves. God is in control and God is good. And that is for our reassurance. He rules over and in spite of opposition and forces against God and his people, not without those things. So let's keep trusting him in that, and we keep those two fixed points firmly in our view. God is in control and God is good. Let me pray. Father, we praise and thank you that through this uncertain time, and Lord, we do not know what tomorrow will bring, but whatever we will face, we praise you. You are the sovereign Lord who reigns. You are mighty. You are holy and good, and so you are trustworthy in everything. Help us to keep trusting you, strengthened by the confidence that comes through knowing that you are in control. For we ask this in your name. Amen.